It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101, where we give you the 411 on your 911. Well, it was in the news continuously last week, and we are going to talk about it today. Who can forget what happened at the Boston Marathon, the bombing? And we're lucky enough today to have our first guest, Dr. Parveen Parmar. She's an emergency physician in Boston at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She's a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians, and she was there at the beginning of her shift, just starting when everything happens. So, Dr. Parmar, welcome and thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, take us back to exactly what was going on, what you were doing, and how you found out about everything that was going on at the marathon.
So, I had started my shift at noon and was scheduled to work till 9 that day. Marathon Monday, we always prepare for an influx of additional patients. Generally, we prepare for patients that have run the marathon and have the expected injuries from that, dehydration, that sort of thing. At approximately 2:50, the blast went off at the finish line, and within minutes, we were notified. Initially, some of our own staff in the Emergency Operations Center at Brigham and Women's Hospital had been listening to EMS radio and knew that the blast had happened and came directly to the emergency department to start disaster planning. Shortly thereafter, we heard from EMS that we would be receiving several patients, and we activated a code amber, and our own disaster plan went into effect.
Mm. So how long after you had heard something did they notify you about patients coming in, how many patients, and what you should get prepared for?
So we actually heard within minutes. The blast went off at 2:50, and at 2:54 we got the call. We were initially notified that we would be receiving, to start with, 8 patients. We ultimately received 31 that day.
Wow.
And when the disaster plan went into effect, several things happened immediately. So the operating rooms were freed up. So any cases that were elective or non-emergent were held unless they were already in progress. Several OR staff were activated to staff those additional rooms. And physicians from all over the hospital presented to the emergency department. So we had orthopedic surgeons, we had trauma surgeons, and several staff from the emergency department as well who were working in the adjacent offices presented to the ED to help as well once they heard.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, even the patients in the waiting room, you know how patients can get impatient and you think about here you're coming in for your hip surgery when you said that's elective, it's planned. But I can imagine, you know, seeing what was going on, it was in, you know, every news outlet, every TV. There's a lot of TVs around hospitals now that people in general were pretty patient. They understood what was about to happen. And I can imagine, did you find that people were, you know, pretty gracious about standing back and understanding that their surgery that they'd been waiting for forever might be canceled because they're holding an OR?
I imagine everybody was. I mean, in the emergency department, obviously, I was privy to some of those conversations, but the patients in the ER that needed to be discharged immediately were very understanding. Anybody who could go home went home immediately. Anybody who could be admitted to the hospital was admitted immediately, and several of the physicians from the inpatient units actually came down to the ER to assess patients, write the orders, and get them upstairs physically, roll them up themselves so that we could clear space for the arriving patients. It was really something.
Yeah, really. And, you know, you prepare for this. You have drills all the time. But in your estimation, did you see that the drills, all the drills that we do in emergency departments really were working pretty well that day?
Absolutely. And this was a tremendous, tremendous success story, really, when it comes to sort of attesting to the success of drills. So we'd participated in several citywide drills. There have been multiple hospital-wide drills as well, preparing for this sort of emergency. And so, you know, everything really went according to plan. As I said, the emergency department was cleared very quickly. several physicians presented from surgical teams and from medicine teams to really facilitate the care of patients. And everything went just about as smoothly as could have been expected. So we had the influx of 31 patients. 9 went directly to the operating room. Ultimately, 15 were admitted.
Yeah, so tell everybody a little bit about that, some of the first patients that came and, you know, and how they're triaged immediately there. It is a little different when you have a mass casualty coming in versus someone with an injury coming in.
It is. So, and much of the triage occurred on scene. So, and again, this is another, you know, testament to the success of Boston EMS. We have a phenomenal, EMS team in Boston. But on scene, patients are immediately triaged by level of injury. So, black is if the patient is unfortunately deceased or unlikely to survive the injuries, they have devastating injuries. Red is severe injuries, life-threatening injuries. Yellow are injuries that are in need of further treatment, but not as emergent. And then green are essentially the walking wounded or people that are injured but can wait to be treated a little bit longer. And EMS, based on their assessment on scene, they basically triaged these patients on scene and then sent them to the various emergency departments in the city so that no one hospital was overwhelmed and everybody could be taken care of in a timely fashion.
Okay, so the first few patients, you mentioned some patients that went directly to the OR. I imagine, you know, reports were coming back that the bomb was low. There were a lot of limb injuries there. So you had orthopedists standing right there and deciding, okay, this one goes. Is that how it worked when it first they first came in? And what were the types of injuries that you first saw?
The injuries that we saw were, as you said, soft tissue injuries, many of them to the lower extremities, a lot of broken bones. There were, unfortunately, some traumatic amputations as well. Those patients came into the ER, and the teams of emergency physicians and surgeons and orthopedic surgeons together did head-to-toe trauma evaluation the way that we normally would. And then based on that determination, patients were triaged in terms of level of need to go to the operating room emergently, and that's how they ultimately went.
So most of the people that were coming in of the, you said originally you were going to get 9, but you ended up with 30. Did most of those people get admitted, or did you have a lot of people that had some relatively minor cuts and things from shrapnel and stuff?
We did have both. So, as I said, we had 31 patients total on that first day. Ultimately, Brigham and Women's Hospital treated 36 survivors of the marathon explosion. 15 of the ones that presented during that first day were admitted to the hospital, and 9 required operative intervention on that first day.
Wow. And how many people did you call in, all of your ER staff? Did you essentially have most of your ER docs there, too? Or did you pretty much work within the staff that was there in concert with the other surgeons that were all in the hospital for care?
Well, we had several ER staff that were there. We have 3 sections of our emergency department at Brigham Women's Hospital, and 6 emergency physicians were on at the time. And we had several that were working in an office nearby, our administrative offices. And once they heard that there was this mass casualty event, they came over to help, and several of them saw patients as well.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. And then you said that, I trained in a trauma center in Detroit. I've worked in Baltimore, so we have our share of, like, penetrating trauma and such, but... you know, it's a lot different, I think, when you have a mass casualty and bomb blasts. There are very few ER doctors around in the country, thankfully, practicing medicine stateside that get to see these bomb blasts.